All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. Or as the little boy in Sunday school said, James, channel 4. All right. All right, I want us to look at verse 7 and verse 8. And I want to speak to you tonight on drawing near to God. Drawing near to God. Verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, James seems to have a good understanding of this matter of someone being double-minded. All right, if you remember back in chapter 1, he basically says the same thing, that we are to walk with the Lord. He said in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then he goes down in verse 7 and says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." All right, so what's that mean? Well, basically that means a fella or a lady or a teenager who has a worldly mind and is constantly feeding that worldly mind, and then they come to church and they put on another mind and act a completely different way around the church. That's a double-minded person in James's eyes, and we're not to be double-minded Christians. All right, we're to be single-minded, that we have a spiritual heart and not a worldly heart. So here in verse 7, the man James, who was a half-brother to the Lord Jesus, he says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Submit. That means to yield yourself, to give yourself. All right? God's not going to make anybody serve him. Now, he might make you wish you had. All right? And I think all of us can testify to that if you've been saved for any length of time. But he's not going to make you. He wants you to choose to love him. I have often illustrated, probably said it here several times, that I want my wife to choose to love me. All right? I don't want her to love me because I'm standing there with a baseball bat in my hand, you know, and looking at her and saying, "Now, woman, you are going to love me." That's not, I don't want that. God doesn't want that either. All right? But we are to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves, we are going to find that we're resisting the devil. And when we resist the devil, he flees from us. Now, he's going to come back. All right, please don't miss that point. He will be back. But if you resist him, he will flee from you. And then here's just such a wonderful truth in verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That is just such a wonderful promise. And it's not difficult. All right? It's not difficult. It's the Lord here does not give us anything to do that we cannot do. We can all of us draw nigh to God. Now, I want us to think about drawing near to God tonight. Let's pray and end the message. Now, our Father, we come now and ask your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of your word. And Father, we are so thankful that we have a Bible that gives us direction and instruction in righteousness. And Father, I pray you'll help us tonight as we look at what James recommends that we as believers do. And Father, I just pray you'll help me as I speak and bless our folks as they listen. And may the word of God make a difference in someone's heart and life tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want you to notice this little sentence that precedes the text that I want to focus on tonight. What I want to focus on is the second part of verse 7, where James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But what I want you to notice here is the verse begins, so right before we read, resist the devil and he will flee from you, we are admonished by James in the first part of this verse to submit ourselves unto God. We are to submit ourselves unto God. Now, folks, wherever we are, we must come into contact with the unseen powers of this world, either good or bad. Either good or bad. But we must come into contact with these forces. It's just the way it is. Now, I have often said to you that if there was a way that we could remove the veil from our eyes so that we could see the battle that is taking place just over our heads, each and every one of us would be probably scared all the way to the altar. You know, all the way to the altar. Because there is a conflict that goes on between God and the devil, and it is a constant battle that goes on. You see, God loves us, and he wants us to love him. However, the devil hates God. And because he hates God, he hates us. And he is constantly trying to get us to go away from God and to get a backslidden on God, if you will, and to get cold in our Christian lives and to get indifferent in our Christian lives. I mean, that's what the devil wants to do. Let me remind you that we are told in the Bible that there are demons, evil spirits, and these evil spirits are seeking constantly to lead us astray and to get us away from God. But then we also know that God's holy angels, as he refers to them, were given to us by God, and they are ministering spirits for us. They encourage us. They help us along. Now, I've had people say, Pastor, I saw an angel. No, you didn't. All right, I'm sorry, but you didn't. You did not see an angel. If an angel visits you, the book of Hebrews says that that angel visits you unawares. Unawares. Now, please, you say, well, I know what happened to me. You're going to contradict the Bible. Huh? Is that what you're saying to me? You're going to contradict the Bible? Don't do that. Don't do that. You say, well, I saw something. Well, you know, could it be that what you saw was not of God, but was of the devil? I think that goes on a lot. But don't give God credit when God's word says that if you entertain an angel, you do so unawares. Now, I know that's a hard saying, all right? And don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, you might say to somebody who has read the Bible and knows the Bible, you may say you saw an angel and what you saw was an angel of light. All right? In other words, one of Satan's angels. That might be what you saw. Now, I'm not trying to get you mad at me. I'm just trying to get the truth to you. Now, I dare say, folks, that there are unseen, invisible spirits, both good and evil, right here tonight. And they are fighting and bidding for the control of your heart and your will. That's what they do. And we need to be aware of that. You see, there's a battle going on for the minds of men. The minds of men. That battle has been raging ever since the beginning of time. And the devil versus God, and God versus the devil. That is the struggle. The devil, that wicked one, Lucifer, the evil one, the Lord of the flies, the prince of darkness, I mean the devil, by his masterly genius, has secured control over multitudes of other spirits who do his bidding and yield to his will without question. And we need to realize that battle's going on. And I want you to know something, folks. That struggle that's going on right now is going on for your heart, your mind. The devil's after you. That's what I'm saying. All right? Now, the sad thing is that a Christian can yield or submit himself to follow the lead of the devil. You can. I mean, if you can sit and listen to him, and the next thing you know, your heart's cold towards God. Next thing you know, you're not reading your Bible. Next thing you know, you're not coming to church regularly. And the next thing you know, you're away from the Lord. And that's what James is basically trying to tell us to do. Don't let the devil draw you away. Submit yourself to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. And the Lord will give you strength to live for Him. All right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Man, I like that verse. I love that verse. Surely, the admonition that we find here in verse 7 and 8 are their wise admonitions and should be learned and known by every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all ought to practice daily drawing near to God. Now, we should realize that that's where God wants us. He wants us near Him. So I want to take a couple of things here tonight and apply these things to the thought of drawing nigh to God. All right, first of all, this message is a message to every Christian, every believer, bar none. I need this admonition, so do you. Draw near to God. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Now, how can we draw near to God? Well, in the Bible, drawing nigh has a couple of different meanings attached to it. When you study that drawing near line out, when you research that line and go looking at the places where it's mentioned, first, it means to personally get close to the Lord. Personally, get close to the Lord. You see, I can't get close to the Lord for Pastor Ray. I can't get close to the Lord for Brother Tim. I have to get close to the Lord for myself. And you have to get close to the Lord for yourself. That's how it works. I just love that little phrase, drawing nigh. We all know what it means to get near someone. We all know what that means. When I was growing up, I had a best friend in high school. My best friend was Tom. And Tom, we just grew up together. He knew me, I knew him, and we just accepted one another for who we were. And we're still good friends today. You see, I know what it means to draw near to an individual. Well, we also know, let's be honest, what it means to draw near to God. And what it means is that through prayer, through praising the Lord, through worshiping the Lord, we draw nigh to Him. We sit down and we read this Bible. This Bible is the mind of God. Now, how did Tom and I become such good friends? I'll tell you how. We spent time together. I learned him, he learned me. And we talked, and we shared aspirations. And when I got saved, shortly after I got saved, he got saved, and we started sharing spiritual aspirations together. We went off to Bible college together. We studied together. And what happened was our friendship just got stronger and stronger and stronger as we drew near to each other. And folks, that is exactly how we draw nigh to God. You spend time in this book. This book is God's mind. Amen. All right? This book is the mind of God. And when you read the Bible, you are putting God's mind in your mind. And what happens is you begin to think like God thinks. Do you see that? So when a situation comes along, you know, we react to it in one way or the other. And if we're near God and God's near us, we're going to act the way God would act. and see things the way God sees things. So drawing nigh to God, we do so in prayer, we do so in service, we do so in worship, and I'm afraid that many times we pray to God like he's way out there somewhere in the great by and by, and we just hope that he hears us as we pray. Well, I want you to know the Bible is filled with admonition that you and I are to pray. And when we do, God honors and blesses and answers our prayers. You say, well, I prayed for $1 million and I didn't win it. Come on. You know better than that. You know better than that. If God could trust you with $1 million, if God could trust me with $1 million, I'd already have $1 million. All right? But I wouldn't trust me with it. You know, and put your halo under the seat, all right? You know it's true, don't you? So, and I tell you, folks, this is why I never read a prayer. I don't know, I'm sure you've noticed that. I never read a prayer. I just don't. I've been to funerals, and I've been to, other things where, somebody gets up and they'll say, well, let us pray. And then when everybody bows their heads, they reach in their pocket and pull out a prayer and then stand there and read it. Well, I never do that. You say, well, why don't you do that? Because I'm not talking to you. You see, I'm talking to the Lord. And I don't want somebody else's prayer coming from my lips to God's heart. I want to ask God for what I want, and I want him to do. Amen. So I never write down prayers. I never do that. I've actually had people at funerals come up to me and say, wow, that was awesome. I said, what was awesome? You prayed. Yeah. Well, that was awesome. Well, what was awesome about it? Well, you didn't read it. You actually talked to God. Yes. Amen. You know why I did? Because I can. Yep. And you can too. So we just need to draw near to God. And how we do that is through communication. We talk to God. I like the kind of prayer that Jacob prayed when they were coming back to meet Esau, and he was down at Jabbok Brook, and the Lord had led him out there, and all of a sudden, the angel of the covenant shows up in front of him, and he stands toe-to-toe with the Lord. Toe-to-toe with the Lord. And he grabbed a hold of the Lord as if to say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Amen. And the angel of the Lord, which is Christ, pre-incarnate, the Lord said, turn me loose. And he said, no, sir. I am not going to turn you loose until you bless me. And here's the neat thing. That wrestling match went all through the night. You know, it wasn't a, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, you know the rest of it, God. You know, it's not that stuff. No, he got a hold of the horns of the altar and he held on until he got what he was asking for. Amen. That's the kind of prayer that I think we ought to do. I'll not let you go, Jacob said, until you bless me. So if you can draw near to God in a prayer like that, God is going to draw nigh to you. Mark it down. You will find yourself having power with the Lord. You will be a prince who has power to prevail with God and with men. You see, God gives that power through our prayer. As a Christian, you can personally and individually stand in the presence of your great high priest and enter into the presence of the Lord. Draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Folks, isn't it an amazing thing that no matter what time of the day, no matter what week of the year, no matter what year of your life, we can bow our heads and say, "Dear Heavenly Father," and it's just like all of heaven shuts down and God just reaches down and picks us up and sets us right in the Holy of Holies and says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" That's how we ought to see prayer. What a privilege it is to pray. So that's drawing nigh to God. Secondly, drawing nigh is often used in the sense of asking counsel from God. That's an important one, isn't it? Seeking counsel from God. Let me remind you that in the first chapter, James said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." In other words, God is going to pour out wisdom upon you as you ask for wisdom. Amen. Listen, young people, let me give you a little piece of advice here. If the Lord tarries his coming, you're going to need God's wisdom to make it through this world. And if I were you, I would start now. And I would start asking the Lord to give you wisdom so as you face this world, you will have God's mind. That's what wisdom is. It's the mind of God. And you will have God's mind on how you can face this world and be victorious in it. All right? So draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. You remember back in the Old Testament when someone wanted counsel from God, they would go to the high priest. And the high priest had this thing that was called an ephod. And it was basically just a big vest, all right? A big vest, and he would put that thing on, and then it had 12 stones on it. Now, I don't know how it worked. It was divine, I know that. But there's no chapter and verse that tells you how this worked. But here is what God did. God said, "You need help. You need counsel. You come to the high priest. The high priest will put on the ephod, and the high priest will intercede for you, and God will give the answer through those stones to the high priest, and the high priest will then tell you what is the mind of God." Now, we don't have to do that today, and I'm so glad we don't. All right? I'm glad we don't. Because all of us are priests. And we can go to our high priest, the Lord Jesus, anytime. And he is there to hear our prayer. And you know what? When you have a problem and you need guidance and you need counsel, what do? You go to your high priest. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, remember? And you and I have been bidden over and over to come boldly before the throne of grace. So what a privilege it is. I mean, we can get God's counsel today, just like they did in Old Testament times. You say, well, I don't know what the mind of God is on this matter. Why don't you pray about it? All right, just ask the Lord what he would have you do.
Right.
And he'll guide your steps. He'll guide your steps. And what are you doing when you're asking? You're getting nigh unto God. And when you get nigh unto God, God gets nigh unto you. What a blessed privilege it is to be able to pray. So, Christian, let me challenge you to go to the Lord and seek his counsel in your life. The promise is, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. What a wonderful truth that is. The point, Christian, is you never need you never need to lack for divine guidance. It's available. It's there. It's there. We just need to draw nigh to God. And when we do, God is going to draw nigh to us. You know, the promise, it's every day. It's every day. I need him every day, don't you? Sure we do. Too often, we run before the fiery pillar of the cloud moves, you know? Remember our study on the Shekinah, and when that cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. But lots of times we just say, well, you know, that's really what I want to do. So, and we just take off running. Well, you better stop, look up, and make sure the cloud's moving before you move. And you just stand there looking at that cloud. If it doesn't move, you don't move. And ask God for his mind and for his heart on the situation. Solomon, supposedly the wisest man that ever lived, he said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. David said, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. So let's trust in the Lord, Christian. Let's trust in the Lord. And the point is, you don't ever have to lack for divine guidance. You can simply ask the Lord for it, and God will give it every day. God is willing to guide us if we are seeking his guidance. Oh, if you want his guidance, he'll direct you. He'll guide your steps. He'll show you where he wants you to go and how you're to get there. That's God. But so many times, we just want to do things on our own. But James said, hey, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. There's a second application to this. The second application is, I think that there is a message here to the believer who is cold and indifferent on God. I mean, you've just gotten away from the Lord. I wonder how many of us in this room tonight, or who are listening on the internet, I wonder how many folks listening tonight are in that cold spiritual condition right now. Right now. Listen, Christian, if I just knocked on your door and you just opened up the door and said, maybe I'm talking to you right now. All right? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. But listen, we are saved, and we come to church every Sunday, but the truth of the matter is our hearts can easily get far away from God, and the next thing you know, months have passed and we haven't prayed one time. Months have passed and we haven't tithed one time. Months have passed and we haven't been concerned about a man's soul in forever. Months can pass and we realize, man, I haven't read my Bible in months. But we still come to church. All right, we put on our church face and we nod our heads. We all know, we're professional Christians now. You know that? Yeah. We've all been saved so long, we know how to do it. But is our heart cold towards the Lord? Christians, search your soul tonight. Search your soul. I've joked with you before about this. I'm not joking right now. But you know, nobody falls into sin. You ever hear that phrase? Oh, so-and-so, pray for him. He fell into sin. He did? Yeah, yeah. Like there's this great big hole out there somewhere, and we're just blindly walking around, and then all of a sudden one day, whoop, we fall down in the hole. Where'd he go? He fell into sin. Bless his heart. You don't do that. Nobody does that. You say, well, then how do you get there? Here's how you get there. One step at a time. Oh, by the way, that's how you get out of it. One step at a time. Serving the Lord. Getting back in your Bible. Getting back into church. Getting back into a prayer life. Getting back into serving and doing something for the Lord. Man, what a blessed privilege was just given to you just a few minutes ago. PJ said, we need some help on the buses. What an opportunity. I mean, some dad just stand up and say, my kids and I will help. My family will help. It'll revolutionize your life, I'll tell you that. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Well, we're not just going to take you and throw you on a bus and say, do it. No, we're going to show you how it's done. We'll train you. You say, Pastor Ray gets up here and says, we're having soul winning visitation Thursday night. Oh, I could never do that. Yeah, you could. What do you mean you could never do that? Yes, you can. I got a text message today from one of our church members who's sick and unable to be here. And church member told me that he watched the service this morning and he was encouraged by it and thanks the Lord for it. And he said, I'm going to be back as soon as I'm able to get back, but I want you to know, and he told me how many people he has led to the Lord in the last couple of weeks just since he was in the hospital and had a procedure done and stayed in the hospital a little while. I mean, it was a lot of folks, doctors, nurses. He said, I won a lot of the nurses that took care of me while I was in the hospital. Won them to Christ. Wow. You say, well, I couldn't do that. Yeah, you could. Of course you could. You know, we have all been where you are right now. I remember the day when the preacher in my home church got up and said, we're going to have soul winning training in our church. Church started at 6, and so they were going to have choir practice at 5, and then they were going to have a soul winning training at 5. And everybody that wants to learn how to win souls, come. And I sat there, I said, I could never do this. But I went. I went. And you know, before I even completed the class, I was winning people to the Lord. I wanted to tell my heathen friends how to get saved. Yeah. So I went after my heathen friends. He said, well, did they laugh at you? Some. Some laughed, but many listened and trusted Christ as their Savior. And folks, listen, if I can do it, you can do it. I used to sit right over here and listen to Larry Stainer say that. He would say that almost every week when he gave the soul winning report on Sunday night. If I can do it, then you can do it. If I can do it, then you can do it. And I heard that and heard that, and one day it occurred to me, you know, if that buzzard can do it, I can do it. You know, that's what I thought. Don't say you can't do it. Yes, you can. And you see, all these things that we do in areas of service are getting us near to God. And isn't that what James said we're supposed to be? Draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. I just like the idea of Christians looking at the Lord and prayer and asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And you know, if you ask that question, the Lord's just liable to answer your question. He's just liable to say, won't you do this? Won't you do that? Hey, here's one, young people. I want you in the ministry. Yeah, there's one. You know, I could never do that. That's what I said. That's what I said. Oh, yeah, you can do it. You can do it, especially if the Lord is calling you to do it. So I hope that we'll take it, take the Word of God at face value here and just cast aside the apathy and cast aside the rebellion and cast aside all of our prejudices and realize that the devil is doing all he can to keep me away from serving the Lord and then just simply flee back to the Lord. Humbly submit yourself. You draw nigh to God, God is going to draw nigh to you. It's that simple. We complicate the Christian life, don't we? And it's not that complicated. It really isn't. It really isn't. A backslidden person, Christian, in my mind, has to be the most miserable person around. You know? I mean, coming to church where there's hard sayings, coming to church and sitting under hard sayings will surely make you remember happier days. Remember when you first got saved? I remember when I first got saved, I was ready to attack hell with a squirt gun. I mean that. I was so on fire, I couldn't sleep when I got home. Preacher said, read your Bible. I tried to do it in one night, man. I mean, I just reading everything. I just wanted to serve the Lord. And I cannot tell you how many times through the years that Christmas programs at Living Cross programs. Just every now and then, when someone who used to come comes back, they'll stand waiting on me at the door usually. And I'll walk by and I'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'll say, "Well, I'm not doing real good, Pastor." "What's wrong?" "Well, I got away from the Lord." And you can see that they did. You know, it's written all over their faces and tattooed all over their arms. Another hard saying. And I've had folks stand. One man comes to mind right over there. Another man comes to mind right back there where John and Carol are sitting, right between the two seats. And they just looked at me and said, "You know, Pastor, looking back, the happiest I ever was in my life was when I was here 3 times a week and serving the Lord. When I was singing in the choir, when I was playing in the orchestra, when I was going out soul winning, when I was happy was when I was here serving." That's normally the way it works. But now I want you to just imagine that battle that's going on right over our heads right now. That's a real struggle. And the devil is doing his best to keep us away from the Lord. Don't let him keep you away. Make up your mind, Christian. Make up your mind. And if you're not where you ought to be in your relationship with the Lord, there's no better time than right here tonight to get things right with him. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed. No one looking around for just a moment. I wonder how many of us will say, "Pastor, I need to draw nigh to God. I have been a little lax, and I've let myself get away from the Lord. Oh, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But I've just let myself stray a little bit from God." And preacher, I want you to pray for me tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand and let's pray about that tonight? Just hold them up. Hold them up. Amen. God bless. God bless. Good. God bless. Good. God bless. Young people, how about it? How about it? Yes, God bless all of you. That's good. Thank you. Father, you know our needs tonight. And I'm encouraged that a lot of young people raised their hand tonight. And Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. There may be a young man or a young lady here tonight that you are dealing with them about full-time Christian service. Maybe they don't even know what you're dealing with them about, but they know that you're dealing with them. And so, Father, I pray that you will help these to draw nigh to you. And Father, for all these adults who raise their hand, thank you for their courage to raise their hand. And thank you, Father, for the conviction that they would raise their hand. And now I want to pray for all of them. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to get close to you. We need a revival in our hearts. And so, Father, I pray it'll start this evening. I pray you'll work in every heart and every life. If there's someone here who's not sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that they'll realize their need for the Savior. And Father, may they trust you tonight. So I ask you to speak to hearts and bless us in a great way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.